pirate and sea and nautical stuff, and it's clothes and utensils and, you know, pirate stuff around the house. Stuff around the house. Well, you know, they got, you know, kiss the pirate aprons and all that kind of junk. And
they have one of those and at, toys. And,
yeah, but this is like, it's like open. It's open year round. It's a proper store. It's big.
It's like the Walmart of piracy.
When I was out there, yeah, kind of. When I was out there a couple
of years. Come down to Pirate Mart.
We'd be slashing prices.
Arr, at Pirate Mart. Welcome to Nerd Burger. It's a podcast for nerds, by nerds, and about nerds.
Kind of.
Hi, I'm a nerd.
Named.
Mike.
And I'm a geek.
Named.
Craig. I don't know.
How's it going, Craig?
Fine. I'm not in love with that intro.
No? I'm like, surprised I remembered it.
Was that pre-planned?
Poorly. From about 5 minutes before you got here. Yeah. Oh, so nice. Which was about a half an hour ago.
That's really good pre-production for us.
Yeah.
You actually gave it some thought.
Some pre-production is really good pre-production.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, boy. I'm fine. My phone was telling me it was 46 degrees as I was leaving today, and I'm thinking...
Oh, my computer is telling me it is 60 now.
And I'm thinking, there's no way in hell, because I had shorts on. I was like, there's no way in hell it's 46 degrees out there. So I just trusted it.
I think, just before dawn, it may have been 46 degrees. We had to turn the heat on in May.
Oh, no.
It snowed in northern Illinois yesterday. In May.
In northern Illinois?
Yeah. Around Chicago, west of Chicago.
It snows up there. It snows up there in May all the time. Like every year, nearly.
Does it?
Yeah.
That far south, though?
Well, I mean, suppose.
You're thinking.
I'm
of,
used to Peshtigo.
Yeah, you're thinking of Peshtigo.
Okay. Anyway.
300-400 miles north of there.
Speaking
of northern Illinois.
We have a guest who is from northern Illinois initially. It's Weird Al Yankovic.
Hey. No.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Gentlemen? So
I thought you knew ready, her.
Right, but here's the thing. Ready to go on time.
Yeah.
Has tons of content.
Yeah.
Has listened to episodes.
That's a big one.
And calls us gentlemen.
Wow.
The bar has been set higher, guests. Thank you, Lisa.
Washington has trained me well.
Yes, you're living in Washington, D.C. now, or well, in Arlington, I guess. Yes? She's jamming out to the music. This is an audio podcast, Lisa.
They can't see you dancing, although we can.
We can just make fun of you.
That's kind of the point, that they can't see me.
Okay. All right,
but
you're out Washington D.C. way now.
I am.
What are you doing out there?
I am finishing my master's degree in Homeland Security. Finishing a master's certificate in intelligence management. Working as a security specialist for a law firm and enjoying all of the sights and the crazy people that are out here because there are many, many. Many crazy people out here. I thought Chicago was bad, but Chicago doesn't begin to touch it.
Wow. That's saying something.
Yeah, the homeless crowd out here is pretty pervasive in Washington. We have a guy that stands out in our courtyard who wears a blanket, regardless of whether it is summer or winter. And over the winter, he somehow managed to get his hands on this, like, giant Sherpa thing. It was, like, this big, giant, like, brown, fuzzy blanket. And all I could think of...
I'm going to Google Sherpa thing. I want to see what this looks like.
So the way that he walks is kind of this, like, back-and-forth slump. So... I lovingly named him Snuffleupagus because that's all I could think of. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
What is a Sherpa? Is it like a fur poncho? That's kind of what I'm envisioning.
Giant, yeah, kind of like a giant fuzzy sheet.
A fur blanket with a hole in the middle for your head.
Something like that. Like the giant furry outfits that the guys at the wall wear on Game of Thrones, where it's cold. They wear these massive, like, some animal hide fur things because they're all these little tiny skinny guys, and they wear these giant poofy outfits. Makes them look much bigger than they are.
No, that's up in the north.
Up in the north.
Where winter has already come.
Where it is always winter.
Buffalo hide.
Oh, okay.
Tatanka.
Tatanka. Dances with Wolves?
Yes.
That's the name for buffalo.
That's what Tatanka. I'm going to name him.
Tatanka.
He's now going to be Dances with Wolves. His... But yeah.
Mike, your name will be Dances with Nerds. Okay.
DC is definitely strange. I mean, the last couple of years, obviously, have been very turbulent with the government shutdown and everything going on. We had a lady try to drive through the gates of the White House. She apparently was schizophrenic and was off of her medications and thought that Obama was spying on her at her home.
Obama personally?
Yes, personally. Was
not just the people
her.
That work for
now,
him.
Now, was he spying electronically or was he like actually peeping Tom style?
Like actually crawling
according
out the
to
window.
Her. Like looking in the corner, and when she looks over, he goes, oh! She gets a glimpse of him for about a second.
He's got a ski mask and binoculars.
They didn't really have a chance to interview her because she was trying to drive through the White House gates and then led them on a wild goose chase down to... all the way down to the Capitol building where they ended up actually shooting her because she was trying to run people over and stuff.
To death?
Yes. Like,
whoa.
Shot her in the head. She's gone.
I don't remember hearing about that. Funny. Yeah.
Welcome to Washington. Would you like some popcorn?
Sounds like you could just do that. Make a big, big bucket of popcorn and just go sit up by the mall.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Just wait for the action.
We had a guy light himself on fire last
whoa!
Week. Yeah, in the mall, like self-immolated, and he ended up passing, of course, a couple of days later. They took him to the hospital. Some, you know, bystanders put him out, and he eventually gave in to that.
Well, they shouldn't have done that. Clearly, he wanted to die.
I never understood that as
and
a
so
form
instead
of protest.
I know. I think it's. I don't know. Maybe there's a historical, cultural thing to it.
Well, I think that
but it certainly does get the attention.
The effect. It used to have more of an effect. Now, in today's society and culture, we nothing shocks us anymore.
Yeah, I suppose.
So setting yourself on fire and whatever.
That's why it wasn't in the news. Right. That's why it wasn't in the news.
Right.
It's like hunger strike.
They can just do one story at the end of the year. 17 people lit themselves on fire in Washington, D.C. this year. Next story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to torture you by starving myself.
Okay.
How does this get anywhere?
More for us.
I'm going to eat Twinkies while you do that.
In front of you.
Yeah.
There's one for Guantanamo. The new torture. We're going to eat pizza.
Oh, and that's close. That's closed, though.
Pizza.
Guantanamo's closed. They closed it.
Well, it was a campaign
They flipped over the giant sign that says open, and now it says closed. And they took all the people out.
They turned off the neon one.
The neon sign.
The one that was burnt out on a few letters, so it actually said Guantanamo.
Yeah.
A. Guantanamo Bay.
I heard they turned it into a Taco Bell.
I still have yet to go get my Taco Bell waffle taco.
Guantanamo Bell.
I better hurry up and do that
A waffle taco?
You haven't heard of this? How have you not heard of this?
They don't have it out here.
It is it's a waffle that's preformed in the shape of a taco shell. So they just curl it up on the ends, and then they fill it with scrambled eggs and sausage and drizzle. They give you a packet of maple syrup to drizzle on it.
Oh, my God. That sounds fabulous.
It does, doesn't it?
Our Taco Bells aren't open for breakfast.
What do you mean they're not open?
We have our Taco Bells are open at 10:30 for lunch, and that's it.
It may not be nationwide.
Yeah. Well, it's like McDonald's. They have regional foods that they don't necessarily offer everywhere.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, the McRib doesn't always come. It didn't come here this past winter.
Yeah, every place down here, every major fast food chain has a Southern style chicken biscuit and sandwich
and sweet tea.
And sweet tea.
Yeah.
The best one that I ever had was the McDonald's up in Maine. It was in Bangor, and they had
lobster.
A McLobster.
McLobster.
McLobster roll was fabulous.
Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I have a McLobster. Yeah.
Lobster,
up here, Mainway. I don't think I've ever broken that one out on the podcast.
What's that all about?
Well, we're not quite that far north.
Almost. Just cross the border.
Alrighty. News time?
Sure. Am I going or are you going?
Do you have Google News?
No.
Because I do.
Okay.
Google will now sell glass to anyone in the U.S. who wants it.
Oh,
indefinitely.
Really?
It's going on sale
for how much?
For $1,500.
Yeah. That's...
It's still part of the, you know, the beta test, essentially, or whatever they're calling it. But it's going to be made more widely available. Mm. And the great line from the article here is... we're still in the Explorer program while we continue to improve our hardware and software, but starting today, anyone in the U.S. can buy the Glass Explorer Edition as long as we have it on hand. And that's a loaded statement.
Yeah.
Because there may come a point where they go, there's problems. And, magically, we don't have any more.
Yeah.
And they just stop selling them. So, supposedly, go for it. $1,500 lying around, Mike?
No, and if I did, I would definitely not buy that.
Lisa, do you have $1,500 lying around?
I don't, but my significant other has a pair of Google Glasses, and I found them really useless.
I was hoping we were going to get a counterpoint from somebody. You were going to say, and they were really cool, and I could do this and do this and do this.
I mean, it's nice because it's hands-free mostly, but really, mostly. I mean, you can videotape, and you can look at the internet, but they were hard to navigate. You know, we spent like 20 minutes trying to get them to work correctly. So I think, you know, it's a new technology.
Really?
So.
Google made something with a poor user experience? I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
So what you do is the next time he has the glasses on is you walk up next to him and you say this very clearly. Google Glass image search diarrhea safe search off. And I then, think that's the right wording. You might have to check it to see what the wording is, how you have to do it. But then, that will make him, his glass will pop up with shots of diarrhea with the safe search mode turned off.
Yeah.
I will try so that and all I will the, send you photographs.
Whoa.
All the best shots of diarrhea.
Well, don't send us photographs of what he sees. Send us a reaction video of him.
Of his face as he is looking at all of the best.
So
the internet has to offer in terms of diarrhea photos.
Okay, so what do you got, Mike? That's the Google News from Craig.
Flashback news?
Flashback?
Yeah. To, I believe, last week's episode.
Okay, follow-up news.
Oh, thank you, follow-up news. Firefighters rescue Menasha Girl from Cold Water Challenge.
Oh. Is this the one who...
No, this is a different one.
Jumped into water that she didn't know.
This is an additional one. Yeah.
Messed herself up.
Yeah, 16-year-old Menasha Girl found herself in a predicament Saturday afternoon. This would be two Saturdays ago. When she jumped into the Fox River from Jefferson Park as part of the Cold Water Challenge phenomenon. The problem was she couldn't get back out of the water because of the high seawall. Police and firefighters responded to the park shortly after 3 and extended a ladder into the river so the girl could climb out.
She got into a predicament
called
imminent death.
Called the result of your own stupidity.
Treading water for hours and getting hypothermia.
Yeah.
Not smart.
Yeah, we discussed the cold water challenge.
Lisa, would you ever
week.
Do that? The cold water challenge, which is like, just,
you know,
just
go, have you heard
everybody
of
get together and run out and dive into?
No, it's people challenge each other through social media. Oh. Hey, you need to go do the cold water challenge, and then that person has to film themselves doing
jump,
it.
You know,
but it's individual to individual,
right?
It,
but
it jumps around.
So they send it around to people, but the polar bear thing is always that's New Year's Day, and it's usually walking into the lake or ocean on a beach,
right?
So it's not like you're diving into something unknown.
Randomly jump into some body of water you've never been in before.
Well, last week, what was it, Kurt's story? Or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, the girl jumped in, and it was what? Zebra mollusks?
Zebra mussels.
Zebra mussels, mm-hmm. And just shredded her leg.
That was on Lake Winnebago.
Yeah, she...
No, she didn't. She because it was so shallow,
right.
She fell immediately because she was expecting to just go into the water, and she hit the zebra mussels and fell and twisted her knee and screwed up the inside of her knee. She didn't tear up.
Oh, I thought she physically hurt herself on something down
there. She did physically hurt herself, but she didn't tear her
regardless
knee open.
Regardless.
She like ripped all of her ACLs and LCLs and all that stuff and her meniscus.
Yeah, I try not to swim in anything that's not either like the actual ocean or a swimming pool. there was a story about I did a master's certificate in biodefense, and we were talking about this. there was a guy who was swimming in the Potomac, and there is this very deadly bacteria that supposedly they've eliminated now. How that is, I don't know.
What's it called?
It's called Naegleri fowleri. And it is a brain-eating bacteria that if you get it up your nose, it can literally travel up to your brain, and it killed him within 3 days.
Wow.
So it is literally brain-eating bacteria.
Ooh.
Yeah, scary. This is why I don't swim in the Potomac.
Wow, that's
they got pictures of brains.
That's a much better reason to not swim in natural bodies of water than mine, which is I don't want my feet touching slimy things.
There's pictures of brains.
Really good.
The bacteria looks so harmless. It's just this little dude.
It's okay.
Just
it
looking for something
the
to
other,
eat.
Does it have like a smiley face?
Yeah, it's smiley face.
Is it cute? Is it waving at you?
They actually have stuffed pathogens. Have you guys seen these?
Yes. I can't think of what's the website called.
I think it's on, is it on thinkgeek.com? You can Google pathogens. And
I've seen that.
They're adorable.
Giantmicrobes.com.
Yes, yes, yes.
They have a billion of them.
Oh, yeah.
You can get a cute little fuzzy plush version of pretty much any disease you can think of.
Gonorrhea?
Yes.
Let's find out.
It's on there.
I'm going to visit the store. Health. I wish there was a full list.
That'd be an interesting way to break it to your girlfriend.
Honey, I just gave you this twice. Last night and now this morning as an apology. Okay.
Find it yet?
No, there's a lot of categories here. Venereals, there we go. There's a whole bunch of them. Let's see.
Venereals.
Gonorrhea is... it's a little blue, looks like a figure eight, but with the eight, you know, with the holes filled in,
mm-hmm.
Kind of a double oval.
Uh-huh.
He's blue and he's got little eyes. He's really cute. Herpes looks like a little, like a sun, he's yellow with little spikes. Well, more like a star, like a five-pointed star.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's like a starfish.
Yeah. And the crab louse looks like, you know, what you would expect to look like.
Yeah, they have everything. They have the cold virus on there, coronavirus.
Yeah, they have, you know, like athlete's foot. We'll link to it.
Okay.
In the show notes.
Giant microbes. You could fill your bed with them. I wonder if it would chase away bed bugs.
You can fill your bed with them, not the plush versions, but
right,
with
the
actual
real
ones. If you go to the right corners in DC.
How true that is.
Ew. Anymore?
They actually busted a prostitution ring at the hotel down the street for me. It's
nice.
Kind of frightening. It's right above an IHOP where all the church crowd goes.
Well, you know, after you're done getting your bang on at
she
3 in the morning, you know, you need some pancakes. IHOP's open 24/7, right?
She'll teach you how to pray. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Oh,
jeez.
More news?
Yeah. More follow-up / flashback?
Sure.
Vaccines. Thimerosal, MMR, mercury, not associated with autism.
We knew that.
Yeah, I know. It's now there's yet another study that has proven that it doesn't cause autism. So just FYI, Jenny McCarthy, you suck.
She's actually retracted everything.
Oh, has she?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Jenny McCarthy, you damage, used to suck.
No, well, damage done, though. That's the problem.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Who's
there are
she?
A lot of people out there who refuse to get their kids vaccinated, and it's kind of frightening.
Yeah, no, measles is everywhere.
Yeah, diseases we wiped out 15 years ago are popping back up in major metropolitan areas.
Mm-hmm.
Around the world.
Is she marrying or married to Donnie Wahlberg now?
Something like that.
The AKA the lesser Wahlberg. As I like to refer to him.
Yes, but also... The Wahlberg who wasn't in the Funky Bunch.
Yeah.
Gosh. Blast from the past.
Speaking of douchebag celebrities, did you hear about Alec Baldwin? Eric Berwyn.
Oh, no, what did he do now?
He got arrested for riding his bike the wrong way down a one-way street.
Was he drunk?
Well, he was cited for riding his bike down the wrong way down the runway street. Then he started to argue with the cops.
Oh, good.
Because he didn't have ID on him. So they took him down to the station and booked him.
Is that some sort of a law that you have to have ID if you're riding a bike?
Apparently.
Now, was he getting hauled away? I was in Beetlejuice! Don't you know who I am?
Here, this is the cops talking. He became belligerent, yelling and screaming at the officers. Oh, okay, this is just a witness. I don't have ID, just give me the effing summons, this one police source said. Confiscated his bike. He got loud. Started dropping F-bombs. The cops marched him to the car.
Nice.
He was seething when he arrived at the 13th precinct and was charged with disorderly conduct. How old are these officers? They don't even know who I am.
Oh.
Yep. His whole thing was, I don't need ID. I'm Eric Berwyn. So there was that. Then you know those Taiwanese animation versions of the news? Have you seen these things?
Mm-hmm.
Where they do 3D animations of news events?
Okay.
There's one about this, and it's hilarious. And because it's video, we're not going to watch it, but we'll link to it. And then, so Alec Baldwin apparently is the voice of the New York Philharmonic. He is the one who comes over the loudspeakers, a recording of his voice telling everyone to turn their cell phones off, please, before the show starts.
Okay.
Well,
claim to fame.
I don't know if it was that day or the next day. Somebody was at the at a show at the Philharmonic, and you know the lights came down, and Alec Baldwin's voice came out, and everybody started booing and hissing, and all the orchestra members started shaking their heads like, "Ah, this again? Like it's been happening." So, New York is now over you, Alec Baldwin. Eric Berwyn. Oh, speaking of that.
Okay.
I had a little karmic comeuppance at work. We had a lighting rep come in. Now, in the architecture world, Lisa, we have these things called lunch and learns. I don't know if you have them in the national security world. Today, we're going to talk about spying.
Yeah. Actually.
Yeah, so the product reps that want us to spec their products on our buildings come in and buy us lunch and give us a little presentation. And we get usually CEUs, continuing education unit credits.
Yeah.
So anyway, we had this guy from a lighting company come in, and this very nice Chinese gentleman with a very thick accent.
Oh.
To talk to us about LED writing. And I'm not making that up. That's exactly how he sounded. So it was nonstop, LED this and LED that, and writing and writing and writing. And I'm sitting there going, like, you know, trying not to get the church giggles, thinking this is, you know, my punishment for enjoying the humor of that voice. That
he could have gotten into product repping something like epoxy coatings.
Yeah.
So there's no L's,
mm-hmm.
but instead LED lighting.
Right. And apparently
and couldn't shake the accent.
Not even when he said the letter L, it was error.
Why the man Rosetta Stone.
Racially insensitive.
Yes.
Yeah. But his saving grace though, was he was extremely intelligent and knowledgeable about his product.
Good.
never once felt like I was falling asleep, which happens in most of those.
Yeah.
Kept everyone's
because
attention.
You were too busy trying not to laugh.
No. I got over it real quick.
You have to.
I had to. I had to force myself.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to, you know, pinch giant blood blisters in the insides of my thighs, which has happened. We got the church giggles in a jury in architecture school once. James, we can talk.
He's coming up in a few weeks. Anyway.
But yeah, somebody kept saying the word shaft over and over again. It was funny.
I found something on geek.com.
Oh, yeah?
This is the headline. And then I'm going to punctuate it with an editorial.
Okay.
Porn stars rail against piracy, ask you to pay for porn.
That's special.
And that concludes your commentary.
Yeah.
That was funny, porn stars. Tell us another joke.
The campaign dubbed Pay for Your Porn is backed by publisher Adult Empire. It's an anti-piracy campaign. They want to keep the porn industry alive and strong by having you pay for it, not just getting it for free everywhere on the internet. With dramatically increasing quality able to be captured by amateurs because our technology keeps getting better and better.
Yeah. Well, like we discussed last week, you don't want to see it in HD anyway.
There's an upper limit to the resolution that you want. But there you go. Oh, I don't laugh out loud at the internet very often, but I read that headline and that's actually what I did. So what else, Mike?
You know, they need to make a living, too.
Yeah. Well, you know.
There's a, you know, I mean, from what I understand, and honestly, it's no personal, you know, experience with this, but there's a market for the DVDs.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's still people that buy. But you know what?
Well, the world needs stick figures, too.
They want to earn a living? Go and dig a ditch.
Yeah.
I always got a kick out of the fact that they have an awards ceremony, just like the Oscars. It's like, what do you judge on? You know, how good was her O face? Really? Like, what do you judge that on?
Well, let's find out.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
What are the categories? Go ahead and talk about something else. We'll come back to this when I find the categories.
Okay. since we're talking.
My computer's about to start smoking. Yes.
Hey, are you doing that over my Wi-Fi? Since we're talking about news of the strange, UK high-rise accused of melting car to get sunshade. Architecture news. You heard about this building in London?
Nope.
It's got,
nope.
I don't know if it's concave, you know, all glass curtain wall, like, you know, goes up 40, 50 stories and it's concave.
Is it so convex?
Whatever.
It bulbs out.
No, it bulbs in.
Okay, that's concave.
Yes. So okay. The sun hits it. It focuses the sun's rays down onto the street.
Oh, nice.
And melts things and sets them on fire.
Sets people on fire like ants.
Yeah. Like a giant magnifying glass. So,
but only at certain times of the year and when the sun hits it just the right way, I suppose.
Yeah.
They could market that as a really quick tanning booth. Just like paint a little box. Put a little ticket booth up and say, stand here for 5 minutes and you'll be dark in no time. Great.
And if anybody needs that, it's the Limeys living up there. In London.
Years ago, in architecture school, in a class called Law and Professional Practice, every class the professor would bring up something that brought about some sort of lawsuit in architectural practice.
Yeah.
And one time he talked about, I don't remember where exactly it was, I just remember the basics of the case was, somebody designed a building, it's a big glass skyscraper. It was long, you know, in floor plan, it was kind of long and rectangular, but it had rounded ends.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of the way that where it sat and how the prevailing wind pattern hit it, is it acted like an airfoil. So when the wind got really high, it popped glass panes out of one side of the building because of the pressure difference.
And they fell down.
And they fell 40 stories to the sidewalk below. And keep in mind, we're not talking, you know, 2-foot by 2-foot glass panes. We're talking 6-foot by 10-foot.
At least.
Pieces of glass that would pop out of the side of the building and go plummeting to the ground. Whew.
Big, thick, insulated glass.
That's a big lawsuit waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Now, you don't have to worry about getting, you know, cut up and bloody from that. You have to worry about dying.
Yeah.
Being crushed by
getting
it.
Cut in half like in a horror movie.
It's like the Denver, was it the Denver airport that was like made out of some sort of fabric or something and then it collapsed because of snowfall? Yeah, I think it was at the, someplace in Denver, I think.
The Denver airport has a giant fabric roof.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and so it collapsed under snow?
Collapsed under the snowfall.
You know, it looks like a bunch of sails, a bunch of little tent poles.
Well, the,
all
down the
concourse.
I thought this was a good idea in Denver.
Yeah.
It was like,
well, the same people who thought it was a good idea to do that in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
They had their roof collapse under the weight of snow.
Well, they figure if the building's heated inside, it's going to melt the stuff. But they never think, oh, but what if we get, you know, one of these one in 100 year storms that dumps 4 feet all at once, and it's too much snow that the building's not able to melt it off with its own heat. Then what happens? But yeah, you'd think by now we could have figured that out.
One would suspect.
Best all-girl sex scene film, best all-girl sex scene video. So they distinguish between film, and so they can give out more awards.
Yes.
Best, I don't know if I want to say all these words.
So it's like the Golden Globes where they have TV and movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best scene in the butt.
Is that what it says?
No.
So
that's
it
what
says
I'm calling it.
Best anal.
Oral. Yeah, all kinds of
group.
DVDA.
Three-way, which they distinguish from group.
Is there any DVDA?
What?
DVDA.
Which is?
Double something starts with V, double something starts with A. That's the name of Matt Stone and Trey Parker's
solo
band.
Oh, solo. Gay.
They have like an
best screenplay.
Best writing, yeah.
Well, that's
nice.
For like this, I imagine the softcore stuff where it actually has a plot.
Do they have cinematography? Best cinematography?
Art direction, cinematography, videography.
Editing, lighting, editing. Sound. Special effects.
Special effects. Well, sure. Sure, they do like the movie spoofs. Like they'll have a Lord of the Rings. They'll be, you know, Lord of the Cock Rings or whatever it's called. And it'll have some special effects in it. Some magic stuff showing up. Yeah. Good stuff. Transsexual.
Best tentacle
best
porn.
Best VHS scene. Packaging, which is about the... What?
Did you hear what she said?
Tentacle porn? Took a couple seconds
best
for that
hentai.
To sink. Yeah. But no, they have... This is great. Best VHS... Well, you know, VHS. Packaging.
Yeah.
And that's for the packaging that goes around the disc. That's not the package.
Yeah.
That the dude is sporting.
You know, you guys have been to Gen Con, yes?
No,
I have. Mike has not.
So at Gen Con, typically now they'll have a hentai dubbing contest, which is
yeah, I've heard
hilarious.
About
and I've always wanted to enter that. You know, you get this little girl's, you know, voices, which could be, you know, 50-year-old women in Asia because they all sound like little girls, unfortunately. But you always get that.
Oh, jeez.
Like, oh my God. And there's men doing this hentai dubbing contest. You're like, where's that noise coming from?
That's
channel a little Asian woman.
That's a little much. Are you going to Gen Con this year?
You know, I'm thinking about it.
I'm going.
Depends on how much money I could scrape together. I just got back from Chicago, and I'm coming back in October. So they can do all my Halloween-y stuff, and my cousin is getting married in October, so I will be back for probably about 2 weeks.
Yes.
So 2 weeks is definitely a good amount of time there. I only had like 5 days this time around, so
gotcha.
It's always hard to divide time while I'm there, so I'm going to try to go.
Mike, are you having a problem with your computer?
No.
You were hunched over it, looking at it with a worried face, and I was trying to get your attention and mouth the word problem with a concerned look on my face, and you kept just shaking your head, so now I have to make it into a thing
that
we talk about.
We have no, we're having, well, as far as I know, we're not having a technical problem.
Okay.
He was watching the porn awards.
No, I'm I'm looking up hentai on Wikipedia. I don't know what that is.
We've talked
about
that.
And I still don't know what that is.
Oh,
Oh, is it just animated?
It's the movie version
Prawn?
Of
Prawn. Okay.
Yeah. Japanese animated sex movies are hentai.
Sure.
Like
the comic, yeah. The comic books
are manga.
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 Sorry. Manga.
I like manga. Manga's, I don't read a lot of it, but I've read Azumanga Daioh, which is absolutely adorable.
So what else? Do you have anything else?
Batfleck.
Yeah, there was a picture.
The first photo of Ben Affleck in the bat suit. I know you don't care much, but it's a nerdy thing, and there's been all the hubbub over Affleck.
I like Batman. I don't like Ben Affleck.
There's been photos of him walking around in regular everyday clothes, and dude's been pumping iron.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's ripped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, well, he has millions and millions of dollars and can afford to pay somebody to force him to work out.
Right.
So do they have all the built-in muscles in the suit like they did with the others?
The suit looks like it maybe has a little bit of that going on, but...
He doesn't need
it's
that.
It's probably
shaped... What picture are you looking at? Because the picture that I saw looked like the suit had a lot of that going on.
Yes, but I've seen what he looks like in real life now, too.
Yeah.
So it could simply be shaped and molded to his body well.
Hmm.
Like, he's as ripped as this suit is right now.
Wow.
That's impressive.
And he's got the jawline for Batman. Mm-hmm.
Is he going to do the voice?
No. It's a new version. And here's the thing that
was my favorite part about the old Batman.
My only concern about Ben Affleck as Batman is I think he can pull off Bruce Wayne just fine.
Yeah.
Because he's a charismatic guy. And he can play the charismatic Bruce Wayne. Not the... with a little bit of a broodiness to him. But, you know, Bruce Wayne is supposed to be... He's a billionaire playboy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question of how he plays Batman. Bruce Wayne and Batman have different voices, different attitudes.
Yeah,
I'm not convinced on that, but we'll see.
So this is going to turn into one of those everlasting debates like the James Bond, who's your favorite James Bond? It's now going to be who's your favorite Batman, because there have been so many iterations. You know, you've had the old
Adam West
Batman from the 60s.
When
he
had a gut and the belt was actually holding his pants up.
My favorite, personally, I really liked Michael Keaton.
I thought he was a very good Bruce Wayne.
I thought he was the best.
I mean, as Batman, he was Batman. It was fine, but I think his performance of Bruce Wayne was really good. He played that character really well.
Who else was there? So Christian Bale.
Oh, Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer and George
Clooney.
In the two later Batman abortions.
How many versions of Batman are they going to make?
They're just going to keep doing it as long as people keep going to see it.
I mean, it just gets so confusing, though, because
like
you had
Spider-Man.
You had the ones with the series with Michael Keaton, and then you had like Jim Carrey and Jack Nicholson as the Joker, and Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Yeah, well, that was the same series,
right? There and now like you have
they got campier and campier, and then we had the trilogy with Christian Bale, and now they're going to do a new round of it with Batman showing up in the Man of Steel sequel, and then ultimately probably having his own movie, and there's going to be a full-on Justice League movie with all the heroes.
So here's a question for you. So do you prefer Jack Nicholson, or do you prefer Heath Ledger?
Heath Ledger, hands down.
You like the darker?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jack Nicholson's Joker was the Joker that was devised by Tim Burton, a guy who has never read a comic book in his life. He has admitted. He made a Batman movie and has never once read Batman. The Joker is funny and wacky and goofy in that, and it's a chance for Nicholson to mug to the camera, and that's fine. He's Nicholson. He's fun to watch. But Heath Ledger was downright creepy,
mm-hmm.
and the Joker, in most of his incarnations, is a sadistic nut job.
I didn't realize Heath Ledger had a British accent. I watched an interview with him, and I'm like,
that happens with me all the time where I get used to somebody in a role.
Yeah.
And then I hear their regular voice. I'm like, oh, they're Australian.
Oh, we came up with another one.
Oh, is that? Okay. He's Australian. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. No. It's like everybody on half the cast on The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Half the cast of The Walking Dead is from England. Yeah.
And you know, Allison and I watch. Do you watch The Americans, Lisa?
No, I have not seen that yet.
You should.
It's on my list.
I was going
to
say,
I'm
if you're working
in Homeland.
Working in Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm. Although they don't film it in D.C. I think they film it around New York. But anyway, yeah, so the main character, the guy, the husband, is is a British actor. And you would never know watching the show. But I just found out that the woman who is it's like the secretary at the FBI office who the main character is like married to.
Okay.
As another guy, like he puts a wig on and glasses and he pretends to be a guy from Internal Affairs.
Seriously?
Yeah. And okay. he's got her recording the FBI boss who's John Boy from the Waltons. That actor. And,
Richard Thomas.
Yeah. And his subordinate who's the FBI agent who lives across the street from the main couple, who is the guy who played the scientist at the CDC on Walking Dead season one.
Okay. I can picture him. I don't know the actor.
Noah
name.
Emmerich.
Sure.
Very, very pale, tall.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway, so the secretary that he's married to,
quote unquote. Right?
Yeah. She's a British actress too.
And that was an awfully long way around to that point. Yeah. Oh, well,
that's no, but it's
off the American accent, huh?
It's funny because when he's playing he's pretending to be these other people. This is the KGB spy, the main character. He always has a wig on. And he's wearing a wig with this woman, and they have the secretary woman, and they supposedly have this wild sex life.
And she never notices.
Well, that's
wig.
Kind of the thing. It's like you're sitting there watching it, thinking he's clearly wearing a wig, and like how, and he puts it on himself. It's not like he has a makeup department that's putting this wig on for him, which he does on the show. But the character in the show is they're doing all these, you know, false.
False identity stuff themselves.
Right? Doing their own makeup
their own, masters.
Right. So, like, she never notices. She never, like, reaches up and grabs his head while they're, you know, doing the nasty. And
do I feel like some sort of mesh down at the base of the hairs?
Like, why does your hairline look funny? Yeah. And it's what's funny is that show is done so well that is the most implausible thing that happens on that show. The fact that she hasn't figured out that he has a wig. But in the last episode, and spoilers, she's like, they're having this conversation. She's like, I love you, Clark. I love everything about you. I even love your toupee.
Oh.
And he looks all shocked, and he goes, you know about that? And she's like, yes, honey, and it doesn't bother me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ah, they finally, after two seasons, they finally
they paid it
addressed
off.
It. Yeah. So
nice.
Anyway, yeah, she's British.
All right, next up.
Okay, one more. Do you have any more news? Or
I got something I'd like to mention quick.
I've got something I'd like to mention quick because.
Okay, go.
For timeliness. H.R. Geiger's dead.
Yeah, that's
so. There
sad.
You go. Guy didn't design the alien. And is
all
also,
sorts of other incredibly creepy stuff.
Yeah. The alien from Species, which apparently is responsible for the Chupacabra rumors, sightings.
What?
Yeah, there's this whole article on.
Did Natasha Henstridge get loose in Mexico?
No, but the first reports of the Chupacabra started coming out in 1995 after that movie. So that the theory is that the woman who made the first Chupacabra report had seen Species, and then thought she saw something
ridiculous.
Mixed it up in her head because the description of the Chupacabra looks exactly like the alien thing in Species.
Wow.
And they have the same origin story, and we'll link to that article. So sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Timely news.
Lisa, this is we need to mention this now so that it gets up on the next episode here.
Okay.
Your current episode. Lisa, do you like the Goonies?
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Mike, do you like the Goonies?
Yeah.
Would you like to have playing cards?
Goonies playing cards?
Ooh, made,
what's this?
By... a company called, where'd it go? Dagnabbit. Albino Dragon, along with the United States Playing Card Company. They have a Kickstarter going. It's already funded. You can get them. You're guaranteed to get your cards.
Yeah.
If you want them. And it's got, like, you know, a whole pirate theme back to it. And
that's awesome.
The cards, like the card faces for each of the cards looks like a pirate map. And, you know, like the spade symbol has a skull and crossed swords in it.
Uh-huh.
And it features all the characters with artwork and everything. Mikey is the king of spades. Sloth is the jack of diamonds. And it's a shot of him opening his shirt to reveal the Superman shirt underneath it. So you can go there. It's on Kickstarter. You can find it. Goonies Playing Cards. They're at like 300% of their goal right now. 19 days to go as we record this. So it'll be 15 or so days to go.
Baby? Baby? Baby?
When you hear this?
Ruth!
Baby Ruth!
How long till they make a Goonies tarot deck?
Oh, jeez.
They're doing a Goonies remake.
Are they?
Yeah. Reboot.
Didn't hear about this.
It's a sequel.
Is it a sequel?
I believe so.
The original? Oh, yeah, that's right.
But the cards are $15 a pack.
Nice.
Cool.
Definitely pick those up.
All right. Let's actually talk to Lisa about some of the material that she brought. Well, she talked a little bit earlier, but Lisa, you LARP.
I do.
LARP. What's LARPing? I know what it is, but explain it for the listeners.
I know what it is.
LARPing is live action role play. It is.
Is that a sex thing?
Well.
Whoa. Okay. I know.
We're going to have to record a bonus episode to cover that topic. Now that you've opened that can of worms.
There's that whole it's healthy to role play in the bedroom thing.
Sure.
But live action role playing. Craig, do you remember when we were working at Fair and they used to talk about not actor baiting?
Yep. Yeah. That's true. I remember that word now.
Pretty much a giant activation fest. It is acting for your own fun.
Yes. At Bristol, acturbation was if you were just running around playing your character and not really playing to the patrons, but just
doing it to amuse yourself.
Doing it for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at how fun I am. Mm-hmm. Funny and impressive and talented. Screw you, people who paid to come in and see me. Yeah, so LARPing is, that's a bit of an, I mean, that's maybe kind of a funny but rude way to say it.
I mean, it's basically a theatrical version of tabletop.
Tabletop role-playing games like D&D and the like.
It pretty much only works if you're doing it with other people.
So. Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of need.
So there is an audience.
Yeah. You're all kind of performing for each other, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, there's different types. There's, I suppose the sci-fi ones are among the more popular, but I know I played like 2 times a vampire LARP. Vampire the Masquerade. Back in late 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, we tried playing it twice. Like, our group, like, Jason was running the game, and he decided, okay, we're going to LARP. I was like, all right. And we played a couple sessions of it, and we just didn't, just didn't stick. We didn't get into it.
That was before vampires were really in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You kind of need a larger group, time, though.
Yeah. That's what I've been told, is that it's better if you've got, like, a local organization, or if you go to conventions where there's a whole bunch of people.
What's a good group size for LARPing?
The games that I traditionally played in were around like 30 to 35 people.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. You're going to say like a dozen.
You're not all standing around together. Like there's usually.
No.
Are there teams, size?
Sites, it depends on like what site you have and what sort of space you have available. But usually, like for instance, with Gen Con, when you have LARPs, sometimes you'll have like 3-night LARPs and you'll have as many as like 200 people at a LARP. There are shared universe games, so I've belonged to 2 organizations. One is One World by Night, and one is the Camarilla, and both of those are shared universe games, international organizations.
Those are both vampire LARPs.
Not necessarily.
World of Dark. They're World of Darkness LARPs.
Yes.
Vampire is one of the games in the World of Darkness.
Yeah, they have Vampire, they have Werewolf, Changeling.
Ooh, Changeling would be fun.
Oh, Changeling's fabulous for costuming.
You play a pixie, a fairy of mm-hmm. Various sorts. Mm-hmm.
So are there sides and teams and like people playing against each other?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's like, it's kind of like capture the flag, but with in character and in a universe.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
There'll be different types of stories. Like sometimes there'll be things that actually involve some sort of random element of I know in Vampire, at least in the older version, the older rules of Vampire, it was rock, paper, scissors to resolve things.
Correct.
So you didn't have to carry dice around. But you had a character sheet. You had stats for your character. So whenever you needed to roll dice, otherwise, you could do that. But otherwise, it's a lot of role playing. And there's all, with Vampire in particular, there's a lot of political stuff. It's an intrigue story. There's always somebody backstabbing somebody else and somebody trying to gain power. And so you're not just trying to win a flag or whatever. Or some MacGuffin. A lot of times there's mystery.
Well, and when they rewrote vampire for Requiem, the New World of Darkness. They change to a deck of cards that you have, and then you have like a number system. You grab cards and.
Okay, that's cool.
So.
That's easier to. I mean, you got to carry the deck of cards around with you, but it's easier. You don't need a surface to roll dice on.
Right. Well, and they have companies that put out like tokens that you can draw out of a bag, and you can get them like personalized with your clan or covenant and things like that.
The company that made was the game Trouble with the Pop-O-Matic bubble with the dice in it. Somebody should have made a Pop-O-Matic D20 for the games that you wanted to use, or just all the different dice, and you could carry those around in your pocket. You have a built-in surface. You could pop it and get your die to roll. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in this moody vampire game where everybody's dressed as because vampire, the characters are, you're always struggling with the beast within you. There's this animalistic side of you that must feed, and you're losing your humanity to it, and you're this tortured soul. And then some conflict breaks out, and everybody's... I can't get my Pop-O-Matic to work. Mine's broken.
Oh, God.
You're doing it wrong.
You have to pop it like this. Oh, not... It needs to go... See, sometimes I don't even need my soundboard for sound effects. I was...
My fangs fell out. Everybody watch where you step.
Okay,
oh, no. Yeah, you always had the players who decided they wanted to get the actual things and, you know, the color contacts, and you had all sorts of costuming. Everything.
Oh, there's all levels of involvement. Superman. Some people just show up and make a very small effort, and then some people go crazy.
Oh, God, we used to have a guy who would wear, like, a Superman T-shirt, and his character's name was Bruce Lee. You don't get nerdier than that.
And there's those characters, too, because you run into this in LARPs, I'm sure. You run into it in living campaigns where you have ongoing character, where you're playing the same character over and over.
Yeah.
Especially years ago. They don't do it so much, but there was a time years ago when I would go to play D&D, and you'd be playing your living campaign. And you'd show up at a table with your character, and other people would show up with theirs. And there was, every time you played, there was somebody at the table who built the weirdest character possible, simply because they believed that they would win the game if their character was very memorable. Because what would happen is you would actually, at the end of the game, everybody would vote for who was the best role player.
Oh, okay.
And the DM would have one vote as well. And you could earn points for that, and that could get you stuff and, you know, whatever.
So
there would always be somebody who showed up who played the craziest thing, yeah, played the craziest thing rules wise, and then imbued the personality with something ridiculously out there,
so that they were the first one everybody thought of.
Right, not that they were the best role player, but that they would like just hammer the table, like they would just take over everything and try to be on all the time,
because
that's how you win. Yeah. Never, ever once voted for that guy.
Yeah.
Never.
Good choice, Craig. Good choice.
In fact, a lot of times I voted for the most subtle people.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's playing the quiet character that only speaks when he has something important to say, and that's how he actually does it.
Mm-hmm.
That's much better role playing than, my name is Gorzo the Mighty.
Gorzo.
That was a character in one of Jason's old campaigns.
We had a changeling game where...
I love changeling. That's such a fun game.
Oh, it's a blast. I love it. You had these changeling called pukas.
Pukas!
Were like,
little animal pixies.
Yeah.
And they all look like different little anthropomorphized people.
We played a pack of fainting goats. And so whenever... whenever trouble would break out, we would all just go really stiff and fall over, and everybody would just bust out laughing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I meant to say anthropomorphized animals, because anthropomorphized people is just people. But yeah, fainting goats is funny. I've never heard of that, because there's always, you know, people would it was weird, because I've played some changeling, and people tend for that game, at least for those people who only play it occasionally, they tend to go to the character that it makes sense for them. Like, if there's somebody that's real cutesy and likes cute, furry, fuzzy things and all that, they'll play the little puka character, and they'll be like a bunny rabbit puka.
Yeah.
And so they're Faye South has bun, you know, has rabbit ears, and hops. And then, you know, the big burly guy would, like me, would play a troll or something. The crafty person would play a knocker.
What would I play?
What would you play? Not a satyr, not a troll. What are the other types?
Oh God.
Unseelie she.
Yeah, they were the real
Unseelie
like,
she.
Royalty
the she, the S I D H E. They're the royalty of the.
S I D H E is pronounced she.
In Gaelic, it is.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, try learning that language.
Yeah, and the she are the nobility.
Mm-hmm.
So because I know you think very highly of yourself. And we're going to go with Unseelie. There's the Seelie and the Unseelie. And the Seelie are like the good, the fairies of the light. They're uh-huh. the good, the bold, the protectors. And then yeah. there's the Unseelie who are kind right. of the connivers. And
uh-huh. So I'm an Unseelie.
They're part of the winter.
She.
They're the winter court. Yes.
Okay.
We'll make you an Unseelie she.
All right.
I think the best part about it, though, is we were all dressed as like a biker gang. So we were like this... really badass, tough, and then people would be like, yeah, badass, and they'd like try to start something with us, and we'd all freeze up and freak out, and then just drop to the ground. And we're like, what?
That's like playing possum pukas, except much cuter, because possum are not cute.
No.
They're nasty, aren't they?
Yeah, they got big pointy teeth, right?
Actually
there, I ran into one at night on my way home years ago, scared the living F out of me. and was just enough light to see it. And I was like, oh my God, that thing looks like it's going to murder me.
So, but yeah, mostly I played vampire. My last story in the Camarilla that I played was hands down my favorite. She was a USO girl. She was in Germany, and she had, you know, worked her way through the ranks of, you know, performers and whatnot, and kind of gained like national acclaim. And so they sent her touring during World War II, and she was in Germany. She was performing, and then had slipped off to have like a little tryst with what she thought was a German civilian, who she then found out was actually a Nazi, and she felt all guilty for sleeping with the enemy. Ended up killing him, and
uh-oh.
Then ran off. They were taking off to go back to America, and their plane was shot down.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and then she was embraced. She was found by this kindred, which is vampire.
Embraced, that is, she was made into a vampire.
Yeah.
Yes. And,
wow, things just do not go well for this girl. Can't catch a break.
Rough. But
first the Nazis, now vampires. Let me guess.
Please
next,
don't
zombies.
Please don't tell me there's vampire Nazis. Please don't tell me there's vampire Nazis.
That'd be a great
Hollywood.
Video.
Get on it.
We've had zombie Nazis, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Zombie Nazis.
There was a fake trailer in the Grindhouse series of movies that was werewolf girls of the SS.
Ilsa.
Yes. Well, it was something like that. It had Nick Cage in it as Fu Manchu.
Oh my God.
Well, it was a spoof of the types of movies that some of these grindhouse places would do, these exploitation movies, where they would get these warehouses full of movie props and costumes and things, and they would just find the cool stuff, mm-hmm. put it all together, find a script to wrap, you know, write a script
based on
to
the
wrap
props
it all,
that they found.
All together. So that's why you ended up with Fu Manchu and werewolves and mummies and Nazis. And biker gangs, you know, like all in one movie, because they found all this cool stuff.
All that stuff was on the same shelf.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, it was the second they found the gas masks, they're like, oh, we got to do Nazis. Because they always depict gas masks for Nazis. Like, that's it. It's always the gas masks. In all the horror movies, they're always wearing gas masks. Because they're creepy. You know. It's like creep back.
Disgusting. But so what type of a vampire did she end up being?
So there's a covenant. So there are clans and there are covenants. Clans like your blood, and then covenant is like your political affiliation or your school of thought. And there is a highly religious, like a group of religious zealots, basically, that are called the Lankea Sanctum. They basically state that they follow the testament of Longinus. Longinus was the soldier that speared Christ on the cross. And that they are separated from God's grace, so there will be no redemption from them. And in their damnation, they are charged with basically terrifying humans back to God. So basically running around scaring the hell out of people so that they'll, you know, repent and be good.
So ultimately, they have a positive goal.
So they're kind of like nuns.
Yeah, without so many rulers.
There you go. And clan?
Clan, what was... Oh, God, it's been so long.
Ventru? Okay.
Deva.
Oh, that's new.
Because she was a performer. And
oh, so is that like
what the pretty wispy ones.
Is that like, what the Toreador were in the earlier version?
Yes.
The artsy-fartsy vampires?
Yep.
The ones who can... They live forever, so they can become the masters of art.
Yeah.
And art literature and beauty. Science and... They can find all things beautiful.
But I was engrossed with this story. I mean, it was to the point where I was like on my lunch break writing sermons and stuff for LARP, and it was you get sucked in. It's like watching a soap opera and
you're in.
Yeah, exactly. And you do get connected to the characters, you know, because you invest a lot of time in development. You know, it's not so much like work, you know, when you're at the Ren Fair and you're having to like develop your character and these are the, you know, aspects of your character. It's like, no, you get sucked into this story. So it's a lot of fun and you learn how to politic and how to, you know, give people what they need or what they want and, you know, how to, you know, backstab and
manipulate.
Yeah.
So it's prepared you for working in Washington.
Exactly. Surprisingly, you know, it's funny. I just joined as a lector at my church, and I'm up there, and I'm like, you know, reading the passage, and I'm like, God, I feel like Rosalind Ray, my character.
Oh, I'm sure that's what Jesus wants you to be thinking.
Just one day, I'll come into church as a lector with fangs, and you know, come, my children, go back to God. Everybody goes running out of the church.
Wow. Things got weird at church today. This crazy girl tried to scare us into believing. I don't think she realizes that we come there because we believe. We don't need to be scared into it.
She was literally preaching to the literal converted. Didn't make any sense. Just weird.
Just another normal day in D.C.
And they would really weird people out because, according to our, was it last week or the week before? Mm-hmm. D.C. is the least nerdiest place in this country.
Really?
You are in nerd hell.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody in that congregation is going to have any clue that what a, you know, LARP is.
We have a LARP out here. Well,
oh,
not
sure. There's communities, but there's DC is on the low end of being into a lot of that nerdy geeky stuff.
Yeah, we just had Awesome Con come through.
Was it awesome?
You know, I didn't go. Unfortunately, I was really depressed because I was like, "Oh, my crowd! They've traveled to DC. I must come and be a diplomat to the nerds of the nation." But I didn't get a chance to go, unfortunately. Carrie Elwes was one of the guest stars there, which was
cool.
Interesting. It's like, where did he matriculate from?
Who cares?
Like, nobody's seen him. Or...
He was Wesley.
Yeah, true.
Farm boy, fetch me that picture.
Have you guys watched House of Cards, by the way?
I'm all caught up, but Craig has not.
I haven't.
I had no idea that the woman playing Kevin Spacey's character's wife was Robin Wright from The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
She's hell on wheels in this show. It was like, that is not Princess Buttercup.
No.
Yeah, and her features have not softened over the years. She has gotten more angular over time. And it works for the character. I've seen a few episodes. It works for the character because she's tough.
Yeah.
He's tough as nails.
It's kind of frightened. I watched it. But back to LARP, Law and Order LARP.
Whoa.
That was
what?
Fun.
What?
So I was at Gen Con.
I don't have that sound effect.
It was like Gen Con 2002, and they held a Law and Order LARP, and it was a group of, I think it was Georgetown law students who had gotten together, and they had put this entire LARP together. It was like a murder mystery slash court case, and, you know, the entire thing played out. Without the sound. I don't know. They actually have a name for the sound in Law and Order. You know, that dunk. Because everybody was making fun of that and making the noise. Like, every time a scene would close, everybody made the Law and Order noise. But I played a murderer. And we're all contestants.
There we go.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were racing.
There's on our phones. An actual name for that. I don't know what it is.
It's I looked it up once. It's a whole bunch of different sounds that, you know, some sound effects
but they
guy
have,
went
they
out
have
recorded
some,
and they mashed them all together. And
right, but they have some colloquial name for the sound.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we were
you
all
played a murderer.
On, what was it? What's the Donald Trump one?
Apprentice?
Yes, The Apprentice. So we were all contestants on the Apprentice, and apparently I had, like, mob affiliations and was trying to get, like, one of the girls bumped off, and so, you know, we offed her and dumped her body in a trash can. And
had to fold her in half to do that.
Yes, or cut her up.
Oh, there we go.
So, you know, they found this mutilated body in a dumpster, and I ended up getting away with it and got a role-playing award for it, which was pretty fun.
Do you have a little trophy on your shelf?
I do, actually.
Nice.
To this day, it has like little theater masks on it, and this is like Best Player Law and Order.
Well, at least you earned that one. It wasn't just a participation trophy.
Yeah, no. It was fun, though.
We could start giving out participation trophies for guests on podcast.
Should do that. What would you give out, though? What would your trophy be from?
Well, you could get a whole, like a couple dozen little cheap plastic trophies made with the same thing written on them for probably not too much money. It's 2014, Lisa. You can get anything.
Do a hamburger with, like, you know, the glasses, right, and the nose and the mustache. Burger. So but yeah, no, it's a creative outlet, you know, LARP. I haven't actually played in like 4 years. I haven't really found too many games up here. But when I move back.
Guess where you can get plastic trophies? At trophydepot.com.
Well, yeah.
Is that right next to Pirate Mart?
I hope it is, and I hope it's synergized between the two so that you can get your pirate on at Pirate Mart and then go over and get, like, best pirate trophies
and
at Trophy Depot.
Yeah. And give them out during dinner at Squarefoot Pizza. So apparently they answered the question about the Law and Order sound on an episode of Community. Rest in peace. It's not doink doink, it's not dun dun, it's not bong bong, it's chung chung.
Okay.
That is the
official name. The unofficial name. The unofficial official name according to Community.
Yeah, you can get a plastic trophy for as little as $3 on this site. Seriously.
Well, they have to make them that cheap for, you know, so that all the kids and on all the teams everywhere can have their participation trophy so they don't feel bad.
A shelf full of trophies that really is just a testament to the fact that their parents drove them places.
Mm-hmm. Trophy Depot, making nerds feel good, one con at a time. So now we have to start a LARP.
The Nerd Burger LARP?
Yes.
LARP Burger.
Ugh. That sounds really unsatisfying.
You know, it's next to Squarefoot Pizza.
In the Pirate Mart.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We have birthday parties where you give out plastic trophies. Make the nerds feel good.
I just realized, I think the Pirate Mart conversation is Frankenburger material, so no one's going to know what the hell we're talking about.
We can keep it in the episode.
Okay.
Why not?
So it'll be an hour and a half long instead of an hour and 20 minutes long.
Okay, well, sorry. So what you're saying is we should probably be wrapping things up.
We had a lot of fun today. Thanks, Lisa.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Please come back.
Thanks for coming along on the ride.
Yeah. Get her on schedule.
I will be happy to come back anytime. And we will talk LARP.
Well, we can talk about other things, too. We do have to try to vary it a little bit.
Yeah, I've become a food nerd now. So we started a food blog.
Ooh. Do you want to pimp it?
Got Mike's attention. Where can we find your food blog?
I'm sorry?
Where can we find this blog?
It is www.capitaleats.webs.com.
Capital Eats.
Yes, Capital
That's
Eats.
That's a good name.
I just started it, so it's only got a few restaurants, but I just went to The Source the other night, which is a Wolfgang Puck restaurant out here, and I told them, I was like, you know, I'm new to food blogging. Just started this blog about DC restaurants, and then, like, all of a sudden, they were bringing me all this free food. They sent the executive chef out to meet me. It was like, I need to tell more people about this.
Holy crap.
It was amazing.
Craig, we need to start a food
we need
blog.
We need to, Dick Fingers, start a food blog.
So that we can go to restaurants and tell them we have a food blog and get free food.
To write about
awesome
on our
treatment.
To write about on our food blog. All right. Mike,
yeah.
Where can they find us?
They can find our food blog at nerdburgershow.com, at nerdburgershow on the Twitters and the Facebook, and email us nerdburgershow@gmail.com.
On the next episode of Nerdburger, Mike and Craig premiere the Nerdburger playing cards. What card would you like to be, Mike?
The Mike? Card?
The Mike of Diamonds?
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
Ando has to be one of the Jokers.
Yeah.
I'll be like the Three of Clubs.
Okay.
Of my picture on it.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Oh, okay. Like, where's this going?
They can't all be gems.
No. Visit us on our food blog. Because we have a food blog now.
No, we don't.
I'm telling people when we go out to eat. I have a food blog. So, you know how to treat me.
Go for it. Don't do this with me, Ron, because I'll just start laughing.
Well, I can't do it with Allison around either. She'll just hit me. You don't have a food blog. Stop lying.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Excellent.
All right, show's over. I'm tired.